course, on a Monday with Falcon head coach Mike Smith in the first half hour. And then linebacker Paul Warlow is going to join us after another outstanding effort for him, 19 tackles in the ball game yesterday against Seattle. Falcons will be in Tampa on Sunday at 1 o'clock. AT&T's Countdown to Kickoff starts your coverage of the Bucs and Falcons in the NFC South at 11 a.m. with J.P. Peterson and D.J. Shockley. Coach, I know disappointment, frustration, a lot of those words come into play after yesterday's ball game against Seattle.
Those are two very good words to describe the ball game yesterday. We did not play very well really in any phase. I think the Seahawks are a good football team, and they won the battle of physicality at the line of scrimmage across the board. And when you do that, and couple it with giving up a bunch of explosive plays on defense, you're not going to like the outcome. And believe me, we did not like the outcome of what took place yesterday.
Smitty, the physical part of the football game is the part that makes it a special game where only certain guys can play, and we know about that. So is that something that you can turn up as a player? Obviously, playing quarterback, I didn't have to play physically. I didn't have to get after people's rear end, get them off the ball, go tackle people, that kind of stuff. Is that something you can turn up physically, or do you have to begin to kind of look it and find someone else to do the job?
Well, we've been a physical football team for the most part this season. We were not nearly as physical as we needed to be in the ball game yesterday. And I do believe that it goes up and down within a person. Some the ups and the downs are a lot closer. And I can assure you this, if there's a big gap from the ups and the downs, then yes, we will go find someone else to do the job. And, this week we're going to have some competitive practices and go out and compete. And certain guys are going to be playing for practicing for playtime.
You mentioned in your press conference that there was some different looks. Red Bryant did not play, one of their big run stoppers, so they felt like they probably had to do some things schematically to try to help stop the run, and they used some run dogs or some run stunts. When you've got a young offensive line, Baker's out yesterday, and you're shifting your offensive line around, how difficult is it for you to make adjustments because you're seeing something that's unscouted you haven't seen for a young group or a group hadn't played very much together to get that down and transfer it to the field the next series?
Well, we struggled yesterday with that exact scenario, Dave. We had way too many hits in the backfield, some unblocked guys. For a couple of our runners, they had no chance. They were getting hit before they got back to the line of scrimmage. So we've got to make sure that we're seeing it out of the same page, and you have to, go to your principles of how you're going to block things when you get an unscouted look. There's principles that should take care of everything. We were not on the same page. We weren't seeing it out of the same eyes, and we had some mental errors in some critical times, and those led to some minus yardage plays and knocked us out of third manageables back to third and longs or put us behind the sticks.
I know you're disappointed too in that Matt seemingly didn't have a lot of time to get through. Dave and I were talking about he threw the ball a lot, didn't throw it for a lot of yards though, Smitty. He was looking shorter routes and maybe even less than the deeper routes.
Yes, they forced us to check the ball down in the game yesterday. And some of that had to get to your check down because of the pressure on the quarterback. Some of it had to do with how they were defending and what they were doing coverage-wise, where we would have to check the ball down. I thought there in the second half we were very efficient with our check downs. Well, they were giving us. We basically got into a situation where we had to throw the football. As you guys are well aware, the score after the first series there in the third quarter, it was 26-3. There's not going to be a whole lot of running plays being called when you're down by 23 points. They were taking away the deep ball. We had to check it down, and we would like to, be more explosive. We only created three explosive plays to their nine. or excuse me, to their 12. They had 9 more explosions than we did in the ball game. And when you lose that battle, it's kind of like the turnover battle as well. You're going to get the field position all out of whack, and you're going to score points usually when you create explosive plays.
And two of those came back-to-back. As you had the explosive run by Marshawn Lynch, got him out near midfield, and you talked about it in your press conference, the double pass, Lynch back to Wilson. Wilson finds Curse on the long touchdown throw. And I guess the question for me, Smitty, is how – I know you do such a good job of staying calm, but when you design a defense where you've got a guy in position to make the play and they don't make the play, I mean, I'm looking at it for almost as a fan's eyes here. I'm banging my head on the wall because Thomas is there and he's a good player. He's a Pro Bowl player from a year ago, doesn't make the play. I mean – how do you make any kind of adjustment to that? Because you had the defense designed the way it was supposed to be designed.
Well, we were in position on that specific play. Excuse me, on that specific play to make a play on the ball. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we didn't. And you know, we talk about it all the time. It's, you know, it's a half an inch here and an inch and a half there, and that's what happened on that specific play. And that's why it's such an exacting game. You know, the previous play, the long run by Lynch. I'm sure you saw it. We misaligned. We had a young guy that was confused in terms of whether we were in base and sub. He plays one position in base and another position in sub, and we were in sub, and he was playing the base position. So we had a short corner, and it wasn't anything that they did. It was really about us. On those two plays, one we misaligned, and then the second one was we didn't make the play when the opportunity was there.
Well, how hard is this then for you then to maintain the patience? Because you know I know how hard, how competitive you are, and how much you want to win each and every week. And there's a bunch of guys in that locker room that are very similar to you, probably all of them. So how hard is it for you to be patient, knowing that you're going to have to live with that stuff, like we just talked about, and because I know you're not looking to next season. You're looking to next week. You're looking at this week. How hard is that for you?
Well, it is hard. You know, patience, especially when you're not getting the outcome you want, is very short. Not only, you know, for the coach, but for the fans, for all the players in that locker room. You know, it's not something that we put up with very much. In terms of not getting, you know, get the plays made that we need to have made. When you're winning and things are going right, you have a little bit more patience. You know, we don't use injuries or playing young guys as an excuse. We have to, as coaches, whoever we have to line up and play with, that's who we have to coach and we have to get ready to go. These young guys are getting a lot of experience, and that is a positive thing if you can think of a positive out of a 2-7 record. You know, there's nobody that's more disappointed in what has transpired over the last 10 weeks than the 61 guys in that locker room. You know, they put more pressure on themselves than anybody can put on them from outside that room. We're a very competitive group of men. We only get 16 opportunities to go out and show what we're all about, and we now have 7 of those opportunities left. And I can assure you we're going to start this week doing everything in our power to go out there and play winning football. That's what we have to do.
Coach, I've always thought in the 5 years and change we've worked with you that one of the great traits you and your staff have, and particularly you because you brought it here, was the ability to compartmentalize week to week. In a scenario like you're getting ready to, you've been through with young guys and maybe injuries and those kinds of things, how important is that characteristic, not just for you and your staff, but for these players, those that have been here and those that are learning it for the first time, to understand win or lose, the ball game ends and you got to move on to the next game?
Yeah, absolutely. You have to move on to the next game. And you learn from the positives, you learn from the negatives from the previous game. That's something that you have to do. And oftentimes when you're playing with young players, you know, they're more concerned about, man, I'm out there, I'm playing, I got, you know, and they don't understand how you have to be precise on every single play. there's a different standard in the National Football League in terms of going out and being productive and being efficient. We're playing at the highest level, and we've got to go out there and be precise in everything that we do. And everybody's counting on the guy next to him to do that.
All right.
Smitty, can you quantify for us real quick how good Marshawn Lynch is? I mean, I know he plays for the other team. He plays for somebody else. But you talk about a guy after contact is a monster. Adrian Peterson maybe.
Maybe.
But, I mean, it's unbelievable. You got guys wrapped around him. He's still carrying people for yardage.
Yeah. We were not very good in terms of yards after contact yesterday.
Yeah.
Marshawn got a lot of yards after first hit, second hit, broke tackles. He's playing at an unbelievable level. He's a little bit different than Adrian Peterson. I think Marshawn's more of a physical runner. Adrian can use his speed, but Marshawn is a punishing guy that wants to gore you when you try to tackle him.
Wow, that's a good way of putting it.
We'll take a break. When we come back, more with Coach Mike Smith. We're live at Flowery Branch for another edition of the Mike Smith Coaches Show. Coming up, of course, linebacker Paul Warlow will join us in our second half hour. And don't forget, of course, that coming up, the SunTrust Bank Shining Play of the Game brought to you by SunTrust. How can we help you shine today? Back to Flowery Branch after this on 790 The Zone.
Look left, pumps. Now going to try and make something happen. Backs up. Whoa, look out. All the way from Texas State comes Choplo Partu to drop the hammer on Wilson in a loss of 8.
Never be without football. Get coverage of every NFL game from NFL Mobile on your smartphone. Call Star NFL to get NFL Mobile only from Verizon now.
And don't forget, football fans, Pizza Hut's $10 any deal is back. You can... It's perfect for the game tonight. We got the Dolphins and Bucks in Tampa. Get any pizza, any toppings. Just $10 when you carry out, only at your locally owned and operated Pizza Huts. Back with head coach Mike Smith, and then Paul Warlow, the rookie free agent linebacker, will join us here at the bottom of the hour live at Flowery Branch. We talk about the Bucks playing tonight, and it's a day. I mean, that's one day, and they'll be on a short week in preparation for your second meeting of the year. And Mike Glennon's held that job, Smitty, and they've not thrown it as much, apparently, in the last few ball games as they did when he first took the snap, because those first three or four ball games, he was over 40 attempts, I think, for three or four straight ball games, and now they've reduced that number a little bit and tried to run it a little more, even without Doug Martin in the lineup.
Yeah, they've done a nice job running the football since we last played them. There's more rushing attempts.
Yeah.
They're – amount of time that they're holding the ball is gone up, so it's changed a little bit. Doug Martin is out. They've kind of reworked their offensive line a little bit, so it'll be interesting to watch. We'll be watching the game tonight and finding out what they're going to do against the Dolphins. You know, there's similarities in the Dolphins' defense to our defense, and we'll get an opportunity to see how they may attack us.
Smitty, you got a division, obviously a divisional opponent, and with Tampa at their building, have they developed an attitude? Is there a certain style that they play? Greg Schiano, a guy that I guess a defensive guy, do they have a personality? Is that developed yet, or is that still something he's trying to develop down there?
Well, I think they have a hard, tough-nosed makeup. They're a good football team, a lot better than their record. They've played a lot of close ball games. You know, they had jumped out on Seattle last week in Seattle and did a very nice job and ended up losing in overtime. So they're playing extremely hard. I think that offensively, statistically, they're not at the top of the league. They're 31st in yards per game, but defensively, they've got some they've got some guys that have played well, especially early in the season. They played well. They've got arguably the best cover corner in the league and Darrell Revis. And I think they're playing a little bit more man coverage with him. They were playing a lot more zone earlier in the season. Don't know that he was quite ready to go 100%, but he is doing a nice job right now. And I think they've done a very good job turning the ball over, taking the ball away from their opponent. They're plus two. And usually when you're a team that's 0-8, they usually are turning the ball over. So they've had some tough, you know, close ball games.
You mentioned the Seattle-Tampa Bay game. We had a game this weekend. I know you were concentrating on your game, didn't pay any attention to it. An Indianapolis team that had beaten San Francisco, Seattle. Who else? They had another big win as well. Denver. Beat
right.
Denver.
Yeah.
Okay. They go into St. Louis, or St. Louis comes to them, and St. Louis hands them their rear end. I mean, it just – what does that tell you about the league? And I know you don't pay attention to the other – but you see a score, all of a sudden 38-9 or something like that, that Indianapolis beat or was beaten yesterday. What's that tell you about the league, especially when you start talking about what Seattle was able to do against Tampa or Tampa against Seattle?
Well, it tells you that this league's very close. There's not a whole lot of difference between number one and number 32. It ends up being matchups. It ends up being about explosive plays. It ends up being about third downs. Ends up being about red zone, situational football. And I believe when I was eating breakfast this morning, I saw it flash across, and it looked like St. Louis really hurt Indianapolis with big plays, explosive plays. And really, you've got to, you know, control that. And right now, we get back to us, because it's really about us. Mm-hmm. We have to do a better job in creating some explosive plays. Yesterday we had three, they had 12. You're minus nine in the explosive ratio, and we gave up 296 yards of explosive plays in the ball game yesterday. So that's, you know, that's unacceptable. I mean, there's nothing that you can say to make it even remotely acceptable. We've got to be much better at that.
Well, when you talk, you've got a young football team. We know that. We've talked about that for a number of weeks. Are little things like you and I just talked about there, the Indianapolis getting their rear ends handed to them by St. Louis, are there some little examples like that that you show this team or tell guys that the worm turns pretty quickly in this league, and it certainly turned on a couple of these teams?
Well, it certainly does. Every week you've got to go out and play your best. If you don't go out and play your best, you're probably not going to win. You know, the NFL is much different than any other level of football. There's not teams on your schedule that you're going to say, hey, pencil that one in, pencil that one in, pencil that one in. It just doesn't happen. Doesn't matter if you're the defending Super Bowl champs or the team that everybody expects to be playing in the Super Bowl this year. You've got to go out and you've got to play, and you've got to play well, and it's a fine line between winning and losing in most games. If you don't play well and you play poorly like we played yesterday, then you're going to get the result that we got yesterday, not even close to what it needs to be. You know, we have got to get those things fixed, and we're going to do it together. When I say we're going to do it together, players, coaches, we're going to do this thing together. When we've had success, we've done it together. When we don't have success, we do it together. And that's the great thing about working with these men. They're very accountable. They're put a lot of pressure on themselves. They're very dedicated, and they are extremely disappointed in the way that we've played football through the first 9 weeks.
You've used the word physicality in talking about yesterday's ball game. Any of it also from the emotional side, from the intensity side, did anything there concern you at all about yesterday?
No, I thought our guys played hard. I think in the fourth quarter, I think it maybe waned a little bit, but up through the middle part of the third quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter, our guys, they don't give up. There's no give up in them. We may have a play that we'd like to have back on offense here and there. We would like to do things differently on defense. And on the defensive side of the ball, they still continue to play hard, even though we made some really bad decisions or didn't make plays. You know, for example, we already talked about the long run where we lined up wrong. I mean,
sure,
if you line up wrong, there's no excuse for that. Mm-hmm. Whether it's a first year player that did it or a 10th year player, we got to get lined up and go out there and give ourselves a chance to win the down. We had no chance the way that we had distributed our defense. We were outflanked, and it ended up being a long run.
I haven't had a chance to watch you guys practice over the last five-plus years. You always have a pretty good competition within practice anyway. You've mentioned that maybe a little bit more accentuating the competition potentially for someone to play this Sunday and maybe some Sundays moving forward. Is that a message that you go in and address do you give your team that there's going to be a little bit more of that, or is that something that already exists?
Well, it exists to some extent, but it is a message that you give your football team. You've got to be transparent with the guys. Now, there's certain positions that there's not going to be competition. You only have 53 guys on your roster, so it's not like you have 105 and you're going to come in and have this massive tryout and
right,
who's going
right.
to win, who wins going to win. But
right.
We've got some guys that have been practicing really hard, and we've got some guys that haven't played as well as we need for them to play. And there's the potential, and again, it's the potential for us to take a look at some of these other guys if they go out and they compete and practice.
We'll get to our Ford Defend the Dome question here in just a moment. Bobby Means offers it up to this week. I want to ask you about Paul Warlow is going to join us here at the bottom of the hour. He and Joplo Bartu are probably the textbook photo of rookie guys that have had an impact on this team because they've played the most. They've had as many reps as, I guess, they and Robert Alford combined, Coach. Desmond and Robert Alford and Robert and Paul and Joplo. What do you see in that group of those four guys in particular, but in precisely the two linebackers? What do you see out of those guys?
I see some guys that have made great strides in the 9 weeks in terms of learning what it means to be a professional football player. I think they're active players. Paul has had 38 tackles in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
He's been a tackling machine. But I think that they are finding out how precise you have to be successful in the NFL. And it's a learning experience for all of our young players. And we've had a number of them that have had to step up and help us this season and compete.
It doesn't matter whether you play at a traditional program or you play at Delaware or Texas State. There's a curve to be learned here, right?
Absolutely. There's a big learning curve for players coming from college to the NFL. And I do believe this, if you're at Texas State or you're at Delaware, that curve's even bigger. Simply because they haven't experienced the competition or the level of competition of the players that maybe play in the in the SEC or the Pac-12, the Big 12, or I guess it's still the Big 10 with 12 teams, something like that.
They've kept the Big 12 name. Yeah.
Here is our Ford Defend the Dome question. Don't forget, you can log online to defendthedome.com. Your questions answered during our segment each week. You'll win a $50 gift card to the NFLShop.com. Bobby Mean says, what changes, if any, are made during the week's routine as the season goals change? Obviously, if there are goals that change that are flexible during the course of the season, how many changes are made to the routine? Are there any routine changes you make as the season evolves?
Yes, you have to. You've got to make changes as the season progresses. And in one sense, it doesn't really matter if you're winning every game or you're losing every game. The volume, you have to cut the volume down as the season goes on. I think you have to also reduce the amount of competitive snaps that you have. We have competitive snaps on Wednesday and Thursday where we just go out and we have the Atlanta Falcons competing against the Atlanta Falcons for 12 snaps on Wednesday and another 12 snaps on Thursday. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's where you go out and you see how the guys can compete. They're not really worrying about the game plan. They're just calling up and dialing up offensive plays and defensive plays and let the guys go out there and compete against one another.
All right, Coach, thanks as always. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, Falcons in Tampa coming up on Sunday. Paul Warlow's next in the players segment of the Mike Smith Show here on 790 The Zone.
We'll go for it. Snap to Matt. He'll look, throw. Darius Johnson, touchdown Atlanta. He split Chancellor and Maxwell, and the rookie free agent from SMU takes it full circle.
Introducing Verizon Edge, a new plan lets you get a Verizon 4G LTE phone when you want it. No down payment, no upgrade fees, no long-term service contract, only from Verizon.
Sounds like got you covered.
Yeah.
Everything you need.
They always do. Verizon's got it done.
Back at Flowery Branch with Dave Archer, Wes Durham, the Mike Smith Show, and Paul Warlow expected to join us at some point in our second half hour here. Falcons and Buccaneers will be Sunday at 1 o'clock, and AT&T's countdown to kickoff gets you started at 11. Tampa plays Miami tonight in a ball game that has received a lot of attention, not for what's going to happen on the field, but what's going on off the field. Mm-hmm. And it struck me earlier today, Dave, that here's Miami with all that stuff, the Martin and Incognito subplot that's now the plot of that team, to then here's Tampa, who obviously, and Smitty noted this, and in watching the tape last week, boy, they played 3.5 quarters of really good football in Seattle last week. To the point where, quite frankly, probably deserved to win the game.
Well, you're right. I mean, in the sense of statistics and all that kind of stuff, Wes. But I mean, we saw this Falcon team a year ago win 8 out of 10 games, yeah, decided by 7 points or less, and a lot of those,
yep,
you pulled out of the jaws of defeat.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle has done that this year. This wasn't the only game that this has happened for them. They've pulled 3 or 4 other games out of the jaws of defeat and won those games. So I think the team that deserves the win is the one that makes the plays to win the game, you know. And so Tampa, in my mind, didn't deserve to win it. They played well for 3 quarters, but as we all know, anybody that follows this game very closely, it's a 60-minute football game. Mm-hmm. Most of these games are not like Atlanta's game yesterday, where you're just completely dominated on both sides and destroyed. Most of them come down to the fourth quarter,
yeah,
and who makes enough plays at the end to win.
It's interesting because with the loss of Martin now, it's a Mike James, Brian Leonard. It's a collection of guys running the ball. Jeff Dempsey, even Bobby Rainey, who started his career, I guess, with the Ravens a couple of years ago out of Western Kentucky, who's from Griffin, Georgia. A combination of guys are going to run the ball now for him. And yet, since Martin's injury has occurred, Glennon's attempts have gone down, and they've been more balanced, if you can use that term, in what they do offensively.
Well, I think they've had to. I think you load too much up on Mike Glennon. At some point, if he is your quarterback of the future, he's going to have some moments where it's not going to go his way. Can you get some people around him that are going to help him? Well, you don't want to damage the kid before he actually gets a footing here.
Yeah.
But we've seen that happen to quarterbacks where they've been kind of thrown to the wolves, and they're all excited about being on the field and looking forward to their opportunity. The next thing you know, it's the National Football League, and they get swarmed under. And it's too much for them. So I think that something that Mike Schiano had to do was to try to get the offensive line a little bit more physical,
yeah,
come off the ball, run the ball a little bit more, and create some opportunities for him in the play-action game as well.
What do you think will happen down there tonight? I mean, how's that game play out?
Well, it's obviously from a focus standpoint, anytime you have the distraction stuff that team in South Florida has been dealing with, it'll be a challenge to their veteran players to make sure that they locked in. I don't know how their practices went.
Sure.
Because that's what it's been about. It's been their Wednesday, Thursday, Friday preparation.
Mm-hmm.
Because now that this is actually going to be a respite for them. Now that they kick it off, nobody can ask them any questions about Richie Incognito,
right,
or Jonathan Martin. They're just going to play football. But all week long, that's been some of the things. And so they've had to kind of think about, okay, how am I going to answer this question in open locker room instead of thinking about what they're going to be doing in third medium situations. You see what I'm saying? As far
right.
as the distraction goes, that's where it comes from. So how did it affect them from Wednesday to Saturday, getting ready, and even through Sunday because they had an extra day to get prepared? So how has that affected the focus of being able to play?
Yeah, I think it's a fascinating game to watch because of all the things that have gone on beyond the game itself.
Well, and they've played themselves, Miami's played themselves into a position where they're in the mix when you start talking about a wild card scenario.
Mm-hmm.
With their win over the Cincinnati team on a Thursday night, they've
right.
played themselves in position where Miami and the Jets are kind of battling there for an opportunity to potentially be a part of the postseason.
Well, joining us in the player segment is Paul Warlow, who's our Ackerman Security Defensive Player of the Game. Brought to you by Ackerman Security. Protect your home and family for just $18.95 a month monitoring fee. No cost to switch online at AckermanSecurity.com. Sporting the Fighting Blue Hen sweatpants even as we
nice.
Speak here today. I like that.
It's a
like
good look,
the,
man.
I like the shout-out to the University of Delaware. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Thanks for spending a few minutes here with us. 38 tackles. And we talked last week. I mean, you said, I what's it like, 19 tackles? You go, it's not like you're counting.
True.
Is the game – what's the 9 weeks been like for you, the 10 weeks been like in this thing?
It's been good. It's been a huge learning curve, which, I feel like I'm – just today I was watching, our previous Tampa Bay game, and it feels like it was last year, the amount that I've learned since then. So it's been a big learning curve, and I'm excited to keep growing and trying to play better each week.
Has there been a guy that's helped you? I know that Sean's been hurt, so How much has he been able to help you? I know Akeem's been here for a few years, or has this been kind of one of those deals where you and Joplo have looked at each other and said, "Hey, it's on us. We got to go learn and go play."
Yeah, me and Jop definitely feel very accountable for what goes on out there. We know it's us two out there, by ourselves. At a lot of times of the game, but throughout the week in practice, Sean's a huge help. Akeem's a guy, my locker's next to him. Anytime any question pops in my head, he's the go-to guy. I go to, run it by him, what he sees and what he thinks.
Paul, when you were signed as a rookie free agent, what aspirations, what expectations did you have before all that? I mean, obviously you had a great career at Delaware. I've looked at these numbers, and you had a huge production.
Yeah.
What went on from the end of the season with Delaware to the day you signed that rookie free agent deal?
I just told myself I was going to, give this, the NFL everything I had. I'm only going to get one shot. And, Atlanta was the only team that I had, a contract to go to as an undrafted guy. So, I just told myself, I don't really have much to lose if it, if it doesn't work out for me. I gave it my all and I'll move on with my life. But I wasn't going to, leave anything behind.
Well, here you are now. You're a starting linebacker in the National Football League. How much have you had to kind of put that little guy scenario behind you and had to really pick up the mantle?
Oh, a lot. And especially as a linebacker, you're the center of the defense out there. You have to do a great job communicating with everybody. A lot of guys look to you for the calls, and, you're working with the D-line and the defensive backfield. So, you got to forget all that. I'm a rookie. I'm a small school guy. But, you got to take a leadership role out there and try and keep the energy high and the communication good throughout the whole game.
I know you got a lot of respect. I mean, next thing you know, I remember as a rookie when I played, you look out there and there's a guy you watched play when you were maybe even in high school. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, here he is. He's running the ball right at you in Marshawn Lynch. I mean, give us some idea. The guy's a monster. You guys made some plays against him. He made a lot of plays against you guys yesterday. Give us a sense of what that was like playing against him.
Yeah, it's exciting anytime you get to go against a big name guy, someone who's well respected across the league, and rightfully so. I mean, he's a great running back. So you want to rise to the challenge. That's what we all want to do. It's when we're out there, we want to take on anything we can, and especially a guy like him, you got to get everybody to the ball. So everybody's got to have great energy, no loafs on any plays, and everybody's flying around trying to get a hit on them.
We're going to spend some time in this segment, if we can, talking about your football journey, because it's pretty fascinating here. And as we were putting together stuff in the preseason, you grew up in the Delaware area and also, I think, Pennsylvania. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm right. So I'm North Wilmington, so it's right in that Philadelphia area, right in Delaware.
You had no Division I offers out of high school?
Yeah, none.
Who was your best offer?
Westchester, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
D2.
D2. And you went to Coffeyville, right?
Yeah, I went to Coffeyville. I thought I was going to, do the JUCO route. And I was there for only a semester, because I was a qualifier out of high school. I was there for just a semester.
Okay. And then you had some interest to go to some other places, but you decided to go back home, right?
Yeah, I was getting some 1A, 1AA interest while I was out there. But it wasn't a situation where I wanted to stay at for a whole another year, because I redshirted out there.
So you went to a junior college, never played.
Yeah, I never played there. I had spent a redshirt year there. If that, which is doesn't
it's a nice part of the country that it spent some time.
it was cool.
Coffeyville, Kansas.
It was different though. It was something I wasn't used to, and it was a good life experience. My first time away from home.
Yeah.
Out in the the middle of the country, and I called up Delaware, and I asked them if they had a room for me in spring ball for a chance to walk on. And my mom's a teacher there, so tuition was. It just made sense for me to go there. And it was a place I always wanted to go to out of high school that I didn't get I didn't have an opportunity to at the time.
Got the cool helmets, too.
They got the cool helmets. Yeah, the helmets, but kind of started it all, I guess. Yeah. So when you get there, it just kind of explodes for you, right?
Yeah. So that spring, I got there. I started spring practice in about 3 weeks. I got to start one of the outside linebacker positions.
And then
had a good spring game, and then started just about every game of my career. I missed one. So I started, I think, 48, 47 games at Delaware.
How much of that is, and I can equate to this, I'm going to ask you, how much of part of the hard road, nobody gives you any respect, nobody gives you an opportunity, the whole chip on your shoulder scenario, how much a part of that is the motivating factor why you're here?
Oh, it's huge, you know, and it molds you. You don't ever look for anyone for a handout, anything like that. You know, everything that I've earned, you know, I've gone my own path separate from a lot of people, you know. Every place, Delaware, I went in there, you know, nobody knew my name, you know, coming in. Same, you know, we're here. Not a lot of people knew who I was until later in the preseason. So it kind of molds you, you know, and it keeps you focused. You know, you have to – you're centered in on what you have to do personally. And, it definitely makes you tough.
When you showed up after signing the rookie deal, what was your expectation?
Try and get noticed, try and let the things that I do well be seen, which I always felt was effort and tackling and my ability to communicate and be a, you know, an integral part of the defense in terms of, like, operation-wise.
Mm-hmm. Was there a guy that you patterned yourself or kind of looked at and said, boy, I kind of like the way I like his game. I've got my own game, but I'd like to kind of bring some of those qualities to the dance?
Oh, definitely. And Sean Weatherspoon was a guy that I would watch.
Okay.
Definitely. And, preseason, yeah, I'd be watching some of the game film from last year. Not watching plays or anything, just watching, you know, his technique, how low he plays, the energy he brings, the way he explodes through tackles. That was something I was really keen on, and I still try to mimic at this time.
Where are you right now? And we know it's a learning curve and a learning process, and you just mentioned that every play is a learning opportunity for you. Where do you feel like you are right now? And I know there's a lot more to get better at, but where are you right now as far as that learning process goes?
I feel good. I feel like I'm, you know, seeing everything well, communicating. But, you know, the learning, obviously, you know, never stops. Right. There's always, you know, it's the NFL. The other teams get paid too. You know, they're always doing it. They're always adjusting to make you adjust. So it's just definitely staying on top of that. Your preparation always has to be top-notch. You can't ever get complacent with anything.
What's the toughest part right now to deal with getting off blocks? Is it seeing and diagnosing play action to get back in your drops? What's maybe something you're really still trying to grind on a little bit?
Definitely trying to play downhill a little more. You know, I want to make some more plays in the backfield.
Like the play you made at the end of the game.
Yeah, like that's what, you know, that was something I wanted to do coming into this game. You know, personal-wise, I told myself, like, when you get an opportunity, really, really shoot it and, you know, be disruptive in the backfield. And that's something I want to do more, you know, making a lot of sideline-to-sideline plays, but I really want to be disruptive and, you know, affect the game in that kind of way, getting in the backfield.
That's a good point. We'll take a break here. Come back. More coming up with Paul Warlow as part of our player segment on this week's edition of the Mike Smith Show, presented by of course, Pizza Hut and so forth. We'll get to all that and more. We continue from Flowery Branch right after this on 7-9 of the Zone.
It's every Sunday afternoon touchdown with NFL Red Zone and NFL Network 24/7 from the palm of your hand, all from NFL Mobile, only from Verizon. How about that?
Nice.
Watch tonight's game right from the palm of your hand if you want to.
Right,
I won't be doing that. I'll be watching it on the 60
inch. On the screen?
Yeah.
Back with Dave Archer, Wester, and Paul Warlow's with us. Rookie free agent linebacker from Delaware. By the way, when the year's over, you don't have that tag anymore. Then you're a second-year guy. You'll be all right. We were talking during the break here. There's a story, and I wanted to ask you about this before we talked about it on the air. You got involved in a blood stem cell donation when you were in college at Delaware.
Yes.
And basically a 23-year-old female leukemia patient had her life saved because of your blood stem cell donation, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty unbelievable.
Yeah. We every year at Delaware, we did a drive, be the match. And you just try to get as many people to join as you can. I mean, because it really does make a difference for a lot of people out there.
And all of a sudden, they called you?
Yeah, I got a call pretty quickly after I joined, I think, during my junior season. And, you know, it's a long process. You got to fill out a lot of paperwork. And then a couple months later, you actually do the transfusion and everything and went from there.
Have you maintained contact with this young lady?
No, nah, it was anonymous.
Anonymous deal?
Yeah, okay. So I don't know. I mean, what happened, what her story is. Right. So, I mean, you just
– I guess they got to kind of protect you from that as well.
I know sometimes they do communicate. There is some communication. I got a buddy who also did a transfusion with an elderly lady, and he gets, you know, notes all the time from her, you know, thanking him basically for, you know, his donation and, you know, saving her life.
I know the season has been – can be, and having been a rookie in this league can be overwhelming, especially – all of a sudden, you're thrust into becoming a major part of the defense as a starter. Do you have some aspirations now that maybe entrench yourself here in Atlanta that might be something you'd like to do in the offseason, a foundation or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
And where's your heart lie in that regard?
In like charity work?
Yeah, something like that.
I always have always wanted to start like a foundation, like an animal protection kind of thing. Huge into wildlife, you know, big dog lover. So if I could get in something involved with that, that would be huge. But I have, you know, there's a lot of things I would love to be involved with, especially continue with Be the Match and anything really.
That's really cool. Yeah.
Your football story is pretty interesting. Your life story is pretty interesting too. I mean, not too many guys go redshirt at junior college and 5 years later play in the NFL. I mean, this is a different route. I mean, you know, Dave's the guy went to Snow and played at Iowa State and ended up.
Most of the good players do go to JC first.
but the route you've taken is not the conventional one, is it?
No, not at all. I mean, it's been, you know, at times it's kind of tough. You know, like especially in high school, I felt like I was a good player, and you know, I really wanted to play Division I football.
Sure.
So, which is what motivated me to not go play a Division II. I mean, it was a great school, Westchester, but I just didn't want to, you know, sell myself short. And, it's been a long, long road, but, I mean, it definitely hardens your shell, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
All right, Paul, you look at these last seven games now, and what is it that you and your teammates need to do to kind of capitalize? I know you got to take them one at a time. You can't look at all seven. You got to win seven games this week. You got one to play in this week.
Yeah.
What do you guys need to do now to try to get out of this fog and get yourself going the right direction?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. You know, there's certain things on defense we want to, you know, definitely do. Get turnovers. That's something that we pride ourselves all week on. Is getting the ball out, interceptions, getting the ball going the other way. So that's something we want to do a lot better at, and eliminating big plays. You know, I feel like, you know, each game there's, you know, just a certain number of plays that kind of change the game. Is, you know, it swings momentum, swings field position. So definitely those two things I think would be definitely a focus point to eliminate.
How much do you learn? You talked earlier about looking at tape of the game of Tampa the last time, and how much you've learned since then. What do you pull from that tape that you think will be important this week?
Definitely, you know, what things they did well against us. What are they going to try and come back to, you know, their running game? And definitely I'm going to look back at that and look at my individual play, what I didn't see, what I could have seen better, you know, what pre-snap tips I can see better that I might have missed last game that I'm going to, you know, key in on.
That tape's unbelievable, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's, you know –
that's the one thing we've heard over the years, that guys talk about watching tape in college and watching tape now is a whole different experience.
Oh, yeah. It's tremendously different. You know, in college, it's important, but at some games, you know, just to be honest, you can outmatch an opponent with a less knowledge base. But in the NFL, you will get exposed if you're not prepared.
Remember, Falcon fans, the Falcons score a fourth quarter touchdown this weekend in Tampa. Go to any Toughman Tire location the next day, and you'll save $150 instantly on four tires and an alignment. That's that next day only from the tire guys, Toughman Tire.
Paul Worlow's been with us in the players segment here of the Mike Smith Show live from Flowery Branch, NFC South ball game. What's it like playing in the dome?
Oh, it's awesome.
You like
it? Yeah, that is a fantastic place to play. Very, very loud. I love it.
Yeah.
Is there a place – you got Lambeau Field coming up here pretty soon. You're gonna place where else? We're going to get San Francisco. You got the Candlestick Park. You're going to play in the last Monday night game in the history of Candlestick Park. When you got in, and I know as a young player, I thought about, wow, I'm going to go play there. And I know you got to kind of push that away once you get to the stadium, you got to go play. Mm-hmm. But were there some places that you really wanted to kind of go play?
I do. I am looking forward to going to Lambeau. That was, you know, especially in December. I think that's when we go there. That's going to be – that's pretty cool. Other than that, I was really excited to go play in the Dome. I mean, I've never played in an inside game before.
Oh, okay.
So that was pretty exciting for me.
Well, your first game in the Dome, you were pretty good. I mean, you had like 11 tackles in three series.
Yeah, so that was a lot of fun to play there.
Did you kind of have an idea that you were going to put numbers up like that in a preseason game, Paul?
I felt good if I got out there. I mean, maybe not that many, but
right.
the way the game went just seemed to go my way, and I was, you know, in a chance to make as many plays as I did, and you know that just comes down to execution and actually making the plays.
Is this a real quickly before we let you get out of here?
Sure.
You got meetings, things you got to go to. The fit as far as the scheme, Mike Nolan's scheme, is there something that you really like about it, or is it just because you were just able to adapt to it, something that was familiar to you? Talk me through that as far as adapting to Mike Nolan's defensive scheme.
Yeah, I feel like it suited me myself a lot better than in college. You know, there's a lot more one guy, one gap, I guess you would say. Like, you know, it was more you have to do this responsibility. Right now I have a little more freedom where, you know, if I see daylight, you know, as a second-level guy, I can go take it, assuming the running back's going to go there too. You know, so compared to college, I feel like I have a little more free range, free will to, you know, go make a play. Otherwise, you know, instead of just staying in this, trying to make a play through my gap.
Thanks for taking time. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Paul Warlow joining us on the Mike Smith Show for Dave Archer, Wes Durham. Stay tuned. More Archer and Bell with John Michaels coming up on 790 The Zone.